Thank God for helping us to come to the last Sunday of 2024. Just out of curiosity, and I know that we'll be given time on the watch night service, but if you were to just describe 2024, maybe for you or for your family, I'd just like to know a few thoughts. What would you sum it up, maybe in one or two words or maybe a sentence?
What's faithfulness?
Faithfulness.
He's carried us through.
Carried us through.
God was gracious.
Gracious.
So good.
Few others.
Protection.
Anybody else?
Prayer answering God.
Yes. Well, as for me and also our family, I think 2024 was a year of God's abundant grace, not just grace, but abundant grace. There are so many blessings which we cannot fathom or count, but God has been so gracious to us in every respect, even doing, like Ephesians 3:20 says, doing immeasurably above all that we could ask or imagine, because He is a faithful God, prayer answering God, never failing God. One of His characteristics, as is repeated over and over and over in the Bible, His mercy endures forever, He is good. And also, the Lord is gracious and compassionate, slow to anger and abounding in love. Let us bow our heads in prayer. Lord, we look unto Your face this morning. Pray that You would speak unto us. Lord, thank You for the last Sunday of 2024 and the saints that could gather in Your holy habitation to worship You, to honor You, because You are the center of our glory. Forgive us, Lord, times where we have not, Lord, given You the due honor or worth or respect or our worship or adoration unto You. Lord, we have been drifted away by so many worries or cares or, Lord, by other thoughts. But we pray that You would help us to always focus on You, to give You the reverence that is due unto Your name. You would be satisfied with the fruit of the travail of Your soul. Thank You for this morning. Give utterance to Your servant. In Jesus Christ's name we pray, we come under the blood of the new covenant. Thank You for hearing and answering our prayers in Jesus' name. Amen. I was told by one of my friends that there was a very wealthy person, an influential person here in our city of Bengaluru. He had his daughter's marriage arranged in one of the costliest hotels, and everything was up to the mark. He had worked out all the details very well. There were about three ministers from Kerala and also three ministers from our state of Karnataka. We know there are three ministers, Malayali ministers, in our cabinet. K.J. George, and who is that, U.T. Kader, and the third one, Harris, yes. They were also invited. Everything was up to the mark. People were, and they had been given reminders. People were ready, getting ready to come. The church service was over, and one of the Roman Catholic churches, and then everybody was heading to the Conrad Hotel for the reception. And the father of the bride, he just came in, and he just complained that he has some chest pain. And they tried to just rub some balm and all, but within moments he just collapsed right on the stage. And that moment of merriment became such a gloomy incident. People, you know, were not able to partake, even though he had arranged such a lavish banquet. You know, nobody would like to partake in that meal when the person who invited them is no more. That is the kind of life that we have upon this earth. I have been reading the book of Joel a few times, and once in the morning when I was having my devotion, I just glanced through a verse. If you please turn to the book of Joel, chapter 1, verse 12. Joel chapter 1, verse 12. The vine is dried up and the fig tree is withered. The pomegranate, the palm and the apple tree, all the trees of the field are dried up. Surely the joy of mankind is withered away. Book of Joel can be divided into three portions. The first one is retribution. Now, when we say retribution, it's a kind of revenge or a kind of tit for tat. But this is not that kind of retribution that we see, which happens in our worldly context. But this is a divine retribution. And then we have a call for repentance, which is in chapter 2. And also the latter part, the restoration or reinstitution. These are the three parts in which the book of Joel can be divided. And it's an interesting book. We don't know when the prophet Joel wrote this book, during which time in history. But it's definitely pointing to a time where Israel was taken into captivity. You know, first we know that Israel was taken, and later Judah also was taken into captivity in Babylon. But here the prophet warns the people because of the sins of the people of Israel. And because the transgression and because the iniquity was so much, that God had to bring in a divine retribution, a punishment, or rather a judgment of all the sins of the people. They had forsaken their God. Nobody was bothered to bring in any sacrifices. And so because of that, the priests and the Levites also, there was no sacrifice. So they also didn't have work. And the people had their own gods. And they used to follow what their mind thought they can follow and worship. And here if we see in first chapter verse 4, we see that what the locust swarm has left, the great locusts have eaten. And what the great locusts have eaten, the young locusts have eaten. And what the young locusts have left, other locusts have eaten. You know, there are specific names given for all of these. Here, just to make us understand, they have put great locust and other locust. But there are different kinds of destructive elements that have entered into the fields, and they have destroyed everything. Now, if we were to look, which are the three basic needs of mankind? Food. Second is clothing, then shelter. Food, clothing, shelter. Now, God says that I have brought in my divine retribution, and the first thing I'm going to do, the most basic thing for the survival of mankind, I'm going to destroy that. We know that if we do not have shelter, you know, there are people who are living without shelter. There are people who do not have enough clothes, but still they survive. But it is utterly impossible to survive without food. Wherever there is famine, we can know There was food crisis a few months ago in our neighboring country of Pakistan, and we know, we have seen videos how people struggle when a truckload of atta or something comes, you know, they just pounce on it, and you know, the mighty and the high and mighty are able to grab it and go away. Those who are weak, those who are old, they were just left without anything because there was a food crisis and people just had a loot when the supply had come. And that was the kind of condition the people were in. It was all because of the iniquity. Now, just like these five kinds of fruits that are mentioned, or fruit trees that are mentioned, of course, the first one is not a tree. If you see the vine, and then after that, the fig, the pomegranate, the palm, and the apple tree. These are the five things that are mentioned in the verse that we read, Joel 1 and 12. I'd just like to briefly go through some of them, all the five of them, some of the points that I was able to gather and just share it with you. In that comparison, we can just take, we can do a check and balance, as they say, you know, about our life during 2024. As God has brought us to the end of this year, you know, these are the five things in which we need to just examine ourselves in the light of God's word. First one is vine. Now, if somebody were to read Psalm 104 and verse 15, of course, Brother Sabir shared the same thought this morning. The significance of vine is for, what did he say? What does vine signify? I think we didn't hear him properly. Joy. J-O-Y, joy. And one of the definitions of joy is Jesus first, others second, yourself last. Jesus first, others second, yourself last. That's the acronym of joy. Psalm 104:15. Anybody can read.
Vine that makes glad the heart of man, oil to make his face shine, and bread which strengthens man's heart.
Yes. So wine is a token of merriment or joy. You know, wine is not shared when there are gloomy occasions or death or any accident or anything. Nobody gives you wine. But wine is served. I'm not talking of alcohol. Now, I'd like to clarify. Wine, W-I-N-E, during the time of Jesus or what we read in the Bible, is not alcohol as people think. They think, oh, brandy, whiskey, rumba nallada. We can have a nice party. That is not the wine that is mentioned in the Bible. It's just pure grape juice made out of the... Sometimes in the country of Israel or Palestine, it was called, you know, when any guest used to come in the house, they used to bring a cluster of grape and then just squeeze it and then give them fresh grape juice. That was considered as wine, W-I-N-E. And V-I-N-E is the plant or the creeper on which the wine or the grape, you know, it grows. So we know that God has given us joy. God gives us happiness. You know, when a child passes in the school exam or college exam, you are happy. When you secure admission, when you secure job, when you are able to buy a new car or a new vehicle, it gives us happiness. That is just a periodical time. You know, you don't stay happy after your car is 1 or 2 years old and it starts going to the hospital. You know, that is where you start crying. But joy always remains with you because it is from the Lord. Philippians 4 and 4 says, rejoice in the Lord always. And again I say unto you, rejoice. You know, the apostles, if you were to see in the book of Acts chapter 5, you know, they were before the Sanhedrin, and the crippled man was healed in Acts of the Apostles chapter 3. he was brought before the Sanhedrin, and then they said, you know, what do you have to say? Because they could not do anything, because everything was in black and white. They had seen this person got healed. He was jumping and praising God. He was with the apostles. He was with the believers. And they could do nothing. They said, you are making us guilty of this man Jesus, whom we crucified. We said, let his blood be upon us and on our children. But you are making us guilty. That is the kind of accusation they had brought before the apostles. So they said, don't preach in the name of Jesus anymore. The apostles said, no, we cannot do that, because you are just giving us empty threats. We cannot do that. And then they were flogged in the Sanhedrin. And then when they came out, you know, they were filled with joy. Now imagine a person who is beaten up by the police and coming out of the police station, you know, what kind of situation he might be in. You know, if he is a pakka seasoned rowda, he will be happy that he is free. But nobody will be joyful at that time, because it is painful to be flogged. You know, it's not easy. But they were flogged, but still with the physical pain, they rejoiced. Why? Because they were counted worthy to suffer persecution for the sake of the gospel, for the sake of the name, as the book of Acts 5 says. Now we know the rest of the fruits that are mentioned, fig and pomegranate, palm and apple, they are all trees. But this one, vine, is not a tree. It is only a creeper. It just grows. It needs something on which it entwines, entwines, and then it grows. And John chapter 15 describes the vine. Jesus said, I am the vine, and my Father is the husbandman, or he is the gardener. He prunes those vines that do not produce fruit, you know, so that they would be able to produce more fruit. But those vines which are dried up, you know, he breaks away. He cuts it off and throws them into the fire. So this morning, how is your life? Is God pruning you? This process of pruning, why is there a pruning needed for the vine? Because as we know, the vine, Jesus also said, remain in me and let my words remain in you, so that you would produce fruit. That means it was taking sap from the main stem. You know, I am the vine, you are the branches. So that means this is the main stem from which all the branches are branched out, and then they have to take the nutrition or sap from the stem of the vine, from the main branch. And from there, if there are any deadly things, you know, things which are not making progress, which are trying to hinder the sap from flowing, that needs to be pruned, that needs to be cut, so that the sap may flow and then the vine will be able to grow. It will be able to produce another cluster of grain. Suppose one cluster is here and then it tries to produce another cluster, but there's something hindering the growth. So that needs to be pruned so that the branch will grow and produce another cluster of grain. That is what Jesus Christ meant. There are certain times, certain things in our life which need to be pruned, which need to be broken. And there are times when we need to be submissive to the voice of the Holy Spirit. Jesus said, without me, you can do nothing. So, vine is a significance of joy. Are you rejoicing in the Lord always, every day? Circumstances may be good or bad, but let us always have the joy of the Lord in us. Second one is fig. Now, fig signifies of satisfaction, contentment. And Christian life is a life of contentment, as God has told us. Because we brought nothing into this world, we can take nothing out of this world. But what God has given us, let us be content with that. That doesn't mean that if you have a cycle or a moped, be content with that. You know, if God gives you more, you can work hard and gain more. There is nothing wrong in that. There is another kind of teaching also where people just say that you need to stay poor. If you are an evangelist, you should have that bag, evangelist bag. You know, that is branded as evangelist bag. And you should wear only jubba. No kind of terracotta shirt or anything. You know, then only people will think, ah, you're pavam. He needs some gift, you know, we should give. Moment he wears maybe some silk or some other terracotta, they'll say, ah, kaash vandhich. Avana kodukkanda. That is not the kind of thing of satisfaction that Jesus is talking about. Contentment is what God has given you, and are you satisfied with that? You know, there is a world, I've spoken many a times, there is a world which is in a rat race, but we need to withdraw from that. You know, we try to compare our life with others, we'll always feel lonely or dissatisfied or grumpy. Because others may have better cars, better houses, better education, better jobs, everything that the world can offer. They have better knowledge, they have better capacities. But God has given us everything that we need and want. And God says, I am with you. I will never leave you nor forsake you. Now, if we were to look at Luke chapter 13, verse 6 to 8, we will not read that. But we know of the story or the parable which Jesus told about the fig tree. Jesus said that there was a man who planted a fig tree and then it did not produce fruit. Even for 3 years he had been fertilizing it, he had been nourishing it, giving it water, but there was no fruit. So he said, let me cut it off. And then the gardener said, sir, the owner said cut it off, but the gardener said, sir, give me one more year. Let me do the same thing over again. Let us see whether it bears fruit. If not, after that you cut it out. Now, if we were to look at Mark chapter 11, we know the story of Jesus and the disciples walking, and then he saw a fig tree. It was having green leaves, even though it was not the season, but it was having green leaves. So Jesus thought that it might be bearing fruit. So it went to the fig tree, but did not find any fruit. Fig also signifies of contentment, satisfaction, you know. Recently I was in one of our friend's house, and you know, it was lunchtime, and he had to have lunch, and he had some errands to play. So they didn't have sufficient lunch to offer me. Of course, I told them that I brought lunch from my home, so I will be going back to my office and having. But they, meanwhile, they said, please have some cashew nuts. I said, it's okay, I'm not hungry. I can bear till the time I reach. They said, no, no, please have some cashew nuts. And they offered me some cashews. I had about two or three. They gave me more. With that, you know, half of my hunger was satisfied. Because I think cashew nut has that quality. Even if you eat five or six, your hunger will be subsided. It is the same with figs also, because figs was the fruit which satisfies, you know, your hunger. It says Jesus was hungry and he went to the fig tree. So fig tree also gives satisfaction. That is the quality of fig. If you eat a few figs, you will be satisfied, because I think it's sweet and it might be generating. I don't know much about the scientific qualities of figs, but it might be generating some kind of secretions in your stomach through which your hunger can be quenched. So how is your life of satisfaction during 2024? Are you satisfied with what God has given you? Are you satisfied with your spiritual life? It's not just, you know, that you attended prayer meetings and then, you know, you are all fine. Or you attended, you know, the Bible studies, or you attended, you know, the Sunday services. It's not that kind of satisfaction where you just came and there was a present and everybody said, very good, very good. If you are not there, they'll say, what happened, where are you, what, this, that. It's not that kind of satisfaction. But are you truly in the inner self satisfied with your spiritual walk with the Lord? Are you satisfied with what God has given you? Are you content with what God, the way God is leading you? let us examine our lives. And if we have been grumpy or grumbling, let us ask God for pardon. Now the third kind of fruit tree mentioned in Joel 12 is the pomegranate. Pomegranate, you know, it is said that it has 613 seeds in it when the pomegranate fully ripens. A full-grown pomegranate has 613 seeds that they have made a survey, and they have found that. And in the Old Testament, according to the Mosaic law, God has given 613 commandments to the children of Israel. So pomegranate signifies obedience. The commandments were given to obey. And so, how is our life of obedience? Not only for 2024, if we were to look, you know, we obeyed God and then confessed our sins and accept Him as His Savior. But how is our spiritual life progressing? The first time pomegranate is mentioned in the Bible is in the book of Exodus, chapter 28, from verse 33 to 35. Anybody can read Exodus 28, 33 to 35.
Make pomegranates of blue, purple, and scarlet yarn around the hem of the robe with gold bells between them.
So the three kinds of materials are to be used to make the pomegranates. What are they? Can you speak loudly?
Blue, purple, scarlet.
Yeah. So these were used. We are not sure what is the significance of that. But we try to understand that they are all made of cloth material. They were interwoven. And then there were bells. So Aaron's garment, only the high priest's garment had these pomegranates and bells circling one after the other at the hem of the garment. And so that reminds us that when they were walking, the high priest was walking, not only for him but also all the other priests and those who were listening to him, that when you have bell is a reminder, and pomegranate, as I told you, it is significance of obedience. So they were reminded to be in obedience to the Lord. One was of cloth material, the other one would be of metal, I believe. I'm not sure, because the bells were made not of any cloth or any other material. When the high priest used to walk, there was a clinging sound. And so with that, we were able to know, because when he goes into the holiest of the holies, only once in a year with the blood, people were not sure whether he struck down dead or whether he is alive or he is still in the presence of God. So that is why they had made this arrangement. God had told Moses to make this arrangement. One pomegranate, one bell. One pomegranate, one bell. When the bell rings, it reminded that you need to be in obedience to Yahweh God. How is our life of obedience to God? Are we able to obey God? You know, some certain things where we are finding it's easy to obey. But if it is a difficult task, sometimes we may try to shrink away, we may try to get others, you know, into the line. But in Solomon's temple also, when Solomon built the temple, he had put up two pillars, and on top of the pillars were capitals. They were in the shape of a, not lotus, but one lily. They were in the shape of lily, and encircling those lilies or the capital were pomegranates, 200 of them. You can read it in 1 Kings chapter 7, 19 to 20. So pomegranate is signifying of obedience to God. First was wine. What does it signify? Joy. Second? Signifies satisfaction. Third one, pomegranate, obedience. Fourth one is palm. Palm tree, it is a significance of righteousness. If we were to look in Psalm 92, we need not turn there. It says, those that are planted in the house of the Lord shall flourish in the courts of our God. The righteous shall flourish like a palm tree. They shall grow like cedars in Lebanon. And we know that they will bear fruit even in their old age. That is what Psalm 92 says. In the wilderness, there is a lot of difficulties. Palm, you know, it doesn't grow that easily. It takes a lot of effort for palm to grow. You know, there are a lot of winds. There are sand dunes all around. But still the palm grows, you know. You find palms in the desert. When the children of Israel journeyed, they came to an oasis and they found palm trees there. You know, when they came to a place called Elim, there were 70 palm leaves and springs of water. You know, it speaks of uprightness. You know, it has to go real deep to find its sap, you know, to get the strength, and then it grows up. But when it grows tall, it grows upright. You know, it doesn't go this way or that way, it doesn't grow sideways, but it grows upright. And that is what is called the life of uprightness or righteousness. You know, there are a lot of problems in this world for the righteous people. People may look down on them, people may think you are fools, people may think that you are not, you know, competent enough. And people may jeer you, mock at you. These are all the things that you need to endure if you want to grow in uprightness. One day God is there to reward you. There is nothing that is hidden from God or from His knowledge. God will give you an abundant reward. When the palm tree grows high enough, then it's able to bear very sweet fruit, you know, the dates. You know, they are found on palm leaves, on palm trees. And when you are growing upright, then the fruit that you will get will be very, very sweet. Whenever there is a crisis of sugar cane, you know, people use dates. They just clean the date and put it in sugar and then they mix it. It gives you sometimes more sweetness than that of the sugar. That is the quality of palm and its fruit, uprightness and righteousness. And finally, we talk about the apple tree. Apple tree, if you were to look, let us look in Song of Solomon. It comes after Proverbs. Psalms, Proverbs, Ecclesiastes, and then Song of Solomon, chapter 2. Kindly turn your Bibles to Song of Solomon, chapter 2. Somebody please read from verse 3 onwards. 3 and 4.
An apple tree among the trees of the woods, so is my beloved among the sons. I sat down in his shade with great delight, and his fruit was sweet to my taste. He brought me to the house banquet, to the banqueting house, and his banner over me was love.
Yes. He brought me to his banqueting hall, and his banner over me is love. Apple tree signifies of love. How much God has loved you. If you were to compare it with oceans, it would fail. If you were to compare it with the skies above or the universe, it will fail. That is the agape love of God. And God says, I have loved you with an everlasting love. It's not a love which comes and vanishes. It's not the love which wavers. It is a constant love. And that is the banner God has kept over us. His banner over us is love. I delight to sit in his shade. You know, some people say that the fruit of the tree of life was apple. But there's nothing, no relevance to that in the Bible. You know, that Eve you know, took the apple and she ate of it. But it was a fruit which was from the tree of life, and the forbidden fruit that she had eaten. But apple, you know, Bible doesn't talk much about the apple tree or the fruit of apple, but here is a reference to apple. It speaks about the love of God. And we know that faith, hope and love abide. But the greatest of all the three is love. John 3:16, it says that God loved the world. You know, there is a teaching that God loved only the elect people. That's wrong according to John 3:16 and according to the Bible. It is not just the elect, you know. God doesn't choose anyone from eternity. It's not like lottery that, okay, one day Rohin will be saved, one day Jiju will be saved, one day Sharvin will be saved, and because of that you got salvation. No. God has given an open invitation to everyone. And when you respond to the love of God, that is the time you attain your salvation. So let us not be guided by such teaching that, you know, God loves only certain people and God has determined or predestined others to go to hell. No, the love of God will not permit that. It is only you and you who are responsible. Because Romans 1 says that God has made his nature and his character known to mankind. And because of that, you know, they are inexcusable. There is no excuse that they can find on the day of judgment when they face God. God is going to ask them, what did you do with my son Jesus Christ whom I sent into the world? And that is the time when they will be judged and they will be thrown into hellfire. So let us also examine these five qualities. Wine, which signifies of joy. Fig tree, which signifies of satisfaction. The third, pomegranate, which speaks about obedience and also holiness. Fourth, palm tree, which speaks about righteousness. And the apple tree, which speaks about love. These are just a few qualities which we could mention. There will be much more. But may God help us so that you would be able to reflect upon them, and may God enable us to lead a triumphant, victorious life in the year 2025. Joel chapter 2 says, rend your hearts, come to him. If the Holy Spirit is pinpointing any fault or any sin or any shortcoming in your life, rend your heart, break down before God. And it says after that, God, you know, reinstituted them. God gave back the crops. God gave back the fruits. God gave back everything that they had, that the locusts had eaten. So this is the kind of God whom we have, whom we serve. And so let us hold on to the profession of our faith without wavering. May God bless his word to us.